Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of Father Knows Something. We just got back from doing our road trip.
Where?
Well, I think we started in Denver.
Yes.
That was very cool. Then we immediately, which did not make any of us real happy, darted right out of the venue, got in a Uber, and we all took off for the airport.
With a police escort?
Well, Morgan had her own escort when we got there. Morgan had a tough time getting through TSA. That was a real fun deal. Then we darted to Las Vegas.
Yes.
And we spent the night, got up the next day, had actually kind of a relaxing day. You guys went to the sand pool, hung out. We went to the show. That was great. And then we went back and had a great night's sleep. Following morning.
What happened before sleep?
Oh, before we went to sleep, we were entertaining Morgan and you. I was hanging out with you and Morgan and a few other friends.
Yep.
At the roulette table.
Yep.
Where you guys found your favorite numbers and you walked away with a pile of money and you had a great night.
What time did you go to sleep?
3:30.
That's pretty good.
Got up the next morning at 7:30. Morgan gave me strict instructions. When you wake up, don't get up, go back to bed. Doesn't work for me. So I got up and went downstairs and got coffee.
Okay.
Came back. And meanwhile, we then took off in a Toyota.
Yeah.
And we drove for 5 hours to Phoenix.
Yes.
To Tempe, where we then had the Tempe show, which was fantastic.
Okay, very good.
And
your memory is all in check.
Yep. Then we came back. And that's all my short-term memory, by the way.
That's good.
That was a test, wasn't it?
No. It turned into one, I guess.
Yes, but we met wonderful people. I really did enjoy our adventure. Again, got to connect and grow our real relationships with viewers. And that's why I love, you know, dropping in on these shows. They're great. Had a lot of fun. And Morgan actually let me get up and speak a few times.
Yes.
And it was fun.
And now you're back in the saddle.
I am in my own saddle right here. Here we are in the little cradle.
Today's theme?
Tell me. Should you share?
Breaking up.
And that's hard to do.
That's all it is.
It's a song.
It's breaking up.
Breaking up is hard to do. You said that you can make anyone sound good.
Yeah.
Breaking up is hard. I can't sound good right now. You can even make that sound good.
All right, we're off.
Let's go do it. Story number one.
I'm a longtime listener and love the podcast. I'm writing in because I'm very confused on how to proceed with this problem.
I'd love to hear the problem.
I, female 21, have been dating my partner, male 21, for slightly over a year now. We've had the textbook perfect relationship. He's there for me, great company, and has done every other thing you could think of that would signify a good partner. I think it's important I emphasize that he has done nothing wrong. But I've always sort of known our relationship was going to be limited to our college years as he plans on temporarily moving abroad and then permanently far away post-grad. And I have similar plans, but in different cities. Unfortunately, I came to the realization today that our relationship has run its course after months of this off feeling I couldn't shake. I never really wanted to be dating so young into my 20s, and this relationship, while healing and supportive, has stretched me really thin in my schoolwork, my other relationships with close friends and family, and my ability to maintain my self-care and health at times. I'm so grateful to my partner, L, because he has shown me a way of love that I never knew truly existed. I've always been in relationships where finding a reason to break up was easier. In the past, I've been cheated on and have been the victim of intimate partner violence. I've never gone through a breakup where the other party was a truly good person, and I've been struggling with a lot of guilt around ending things. I don't want to hurt him, but I'm aware that this isn't a very realistic goal. How do I end things in a way that is as healthy and as gentle as possible? He doesn't deserve the hurt this is going to bring him, and it's been tearing me up inside. And do y'all have any tips on moving on for myself? I'm used to going to a place of anger and resentment post-breakup, and that's not the case this time. I'm not prepared yet, and I'm really scared about how this will affect the both of us. Thanks in advance, and best wishes to all y'all.
Well, from personal experience, I know where you're at in a different way, and I know one thing. You don't pull the Band-Aid off really slowly. It always hurts less when you just pull the Band-Aid off. And if you in your mind really do see that this is not a life that you are going to have for the rest of your life, why waste his time and his valuable ability of finding that right person that will be that person? And that's the gift, in essence, that you're going to give him, his freedom. And you have to make it very, very simple. Don't complicate it. There's no blame on either one of you. It's just you don't feel that it's the ultimate destination. And taking any more time of his away from finding that right person is criminal. And that's the way I looked at it with myself. I was with somebody for the last 3 years who is a wonderful person. Nothing wrong. It's just sometimes it's chemistry that you just realize that it may not be the right person.
Yeah.
And I came to that conclusion and I was certain of it and pulled the Band-Aid off. And I can guarantee your partner is not happy at the moment you do it, but it's the best thing if you have those feelings.
Yeah. I mean, there's really no other way. It reminds me, the closest thing I've had to this is when you finish high school and you're going off to college. Mm-hmm. And you're saying goodbye to all these friends you've had around you literally your entire life. And you're just like not going to see them for at least 6 months at a time now. Mm-hmm. And it's these, not that those friendships end, but it's just, it's certain relationship change. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to adjust to a new normal, especially right when it happens. But I agree. I think you get it out of the way. And then the further you get away from it, the better it'll get.
And some people play this game, you know, to try to, you know, be awful and be mean and, you know, try to get them to hate you. And, you know, just, you know, give the breakup the respect that the relationship deserves. And because he's showing you love and because he's been a good person and you truly do recognize that at this point in time in your life, you don't feel that that's it. You got to give it dignity.
Yeah.
And be fair.
Well, in the ideal outcome, we get the cleanest break possible. So how would you, without knowing the specifics of the relationship, how would you approach a conversation like that?
I would just say, we have to have a talk. I want to be honest and direct and fair in this conversation. It may seem like it's coming out of left field for you, but I have been having these feelings. I've been digesting them, and in the end of the digestion or the processing of all the information is I recognize that our relationship today is not a long-term relationship and I need to set you free.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
I mean, because of the conversations you've had, I feel like it won't be a shock. It may be earlier than expected, but it mm-hmm. seemed like you both were kind of expecting to get to this point.
I really do believe that when people get to this part, the other person, if you're feeling it, they're feeling it too. And everyone tries to kind of cover it. And when you're not being as loving or as attentive or as excited when you see each other, the other person's got to feel it. They may not want to digest it. They may want to ignore it and think it's a phase. But when you're processing, I guarantee they're feeling it.
Yeah. Well, especially you both know that you're going to go to different cities eventually. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there was ever a talk of long distance or anything, but I would set the record straight mm-hmm. ASAP.
And also, we never know what will happen in a year or two or three if you guys should bump into each other or communicate. But you want to, you know, really just point blank say, I want to give this dignity. It deserves the respect and the dignity without getting, you know, trying to be mean to end a relationship or trying to have other things sabotage it. I just want to be direct and honest with it.
Yeah.
And again, they're not going to be happy with you because they're hurt and they feel that they may have done something wrong. You have to really emphasize that it's, you know, nothing that they have done. You know, it's just something that's just not there.
Yeah.
End of story.
Well, our friends in the comments definitely have experienced this. So we look to you guys to see how you approached this type of conversation and how it went.
Yeah. But honesty is always the best policy. It really does work. So
especially here, there's nothing to hide. Mm-hmm. It's just the hard part of doing it.
Yeah. And the answer is just do it. Don't wait anymore.
I think that's trademarked.
Okay. We're rolling for number two.
Two?
Two.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
Morgan.
Say hi.
Hi.
She's there.
Justin and Holly.
She's not here. She's at her mom's this week. We were traveling. She's still there.
Slacking.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of THT and FKS, but this is my first write-in. So I'm a 22 female. I've dated my 21 male boyfriend for 2 years now. I love him so much. And for a little backstory, we've been through hell and back together due to personal stuff we've helped each other navigate, and us being long distance doesn't help either. I've known him for maybe 5 years, the first three in school, and we were best friends. As soon as I moved away for further studies, we started dating. It was always there. I had to say something. Now, the 2 years we've dated has been long distance. He has been the perfect boyfriend. I trust him fully, and he's who I want to marry. On to the problem. I'm visiting him right now. He's perfect, and things have been great. But one thing we've never agreed on is kids. I don't want any for multiple reasons, and he does. We would debate it a lot, but yesterday something in my personal life came to a head, and I was 100% sure I didn't want any. He said he can't promise not wanting kids in the future and is scared we might get divorced over this eventually, and he doesn't want to regret this or resent me. So we broke up and decided to stay close friends, but holy fuck does it hurt. My question is, did I do the right thing? I mean, I know I technically did, but I'm just 22. Who knows? Maybe I could change my mind. I don't think I will, but I could. I'm really young. Do I want to lose my soulmate over this? I've never felt this way about a guy before. I'm in love with my best friend, and it's really special. Should I let go of that? I don't blame him because he's being reasonable in his fears. And then if I did the right thing, can he and I actually stay friends? I don't want to lose him. I can't picture not talking to him daily or having him fade out of my life. But if I talk daily, will I ever even get over him? How do I move on? I don't even know where to find someone as good as him because he checked all of my boxes. Thanks for reading this. Any and all advice would be appreciated with a frowny face.
You know, I can feel you. And the first thing that came to my mind is you're 22 right now. Is that what she is? A lot of things change from 22 to 28 or 30. But you have certainly determined there's something that's going on in your mind that you don't want children. And I think what you probably should do is seek some counseling in the interim to see what's going on. The fact that you're friends, you can still be talking. But I would certainly talk to a counselor and find out what is this, whatever this thing is that stops you from wanting children, because it might be very real. And if it's really real, is it real as it seems right now to you, that you broke up with the man of your dreams, then you did the right thing if it's true and real, because you are denying him something that he really wants, and you know you don't want it.
Yeah.
And so you're setting him free. You're letting the butterfly go, and they say, there is a saying that letting the butterfly go free and see if it comes back. I'm not quite sure you're going to look it up, aren't you?
Release the butterfly you love the most from your hands. It will fly away from you, but if it really loves you, it will come back.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens with the butterfly. But in the meantime, seek some additional counseling, someone that's a professional that can kind of get into what's going on in your psyche and maybe help you through it.
Yeah. I mean, I think reading this, I think you guys are both very mature, mm-hmm. especially for 21, 22, because I think at that age, a lot of people will just push off big mm-hmm. things like this and just stay in the comfort of the relationship, especially when it's special like this. But the fact that you can see it from both sides and not just so strictly out of emotion is really great. I mean, the ideal outcome, marry him and be okay with no kids, or at least how I can maintain a strong bond with him while we both pursue different romantic relationships, which is a little complicated because, you know, I think there's some time apart that would be necessary before that. Otherwise, you'll hang on to it.
Sometimes you have to heal.
But just even having that perspective in the middle of a breakup to say, well, I would love to have, you know, a friendship with this guy mm-hmm. in the future, and not being so overly emotional, the way you approach this all is right. I think it's perfect because we've seen through many of these stories that kids versus no kids is a huge deal breaker.
Oh, we've had some that it came up later and we said, it's divorce.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you guys truly are on two different paths and it's going to turn into bitterness and anger.
Yeah. And you know, the reality is you could change. You could change your mind down the line. You mm-hmm. never know what can happen between now and, you know, when that would be a thing for you.
I've heard these stories where, you know, the people broke up and the next thing you know is they're, you know, it's down the road 10 years and the person who never wanted children has children.
Yeah.
And the person who didn't want, who wanted the children never got married and never had the children. I've seen all this stuff in my 66 years.
Yeah.
So you just, I think the something that you really should do is try to find out what's in you that, you know, that is this hidden trigger and see if they can help you through it. Not meaning you have to go right back, you know, go back into his arms today, but you can certainly say, I've gotten some assistance with it. And, you know, I wanted to share this with you. And, you know, it might be a possibility that I would do that. I'd want children later, but you got to be honest with yourself.
But that's not the reason to stay together.
No, the reason to stay together is because you're in love with each other. And you can see that you're going through life, that you will build this life, and that you're comfortable with the fact that you want the same thing.
Yeah, with the right person that mm-hmm. also wants the same thing. And that's why these conversations are important early on when you're getting to know somebody mm-hmm. too. But the thing I see here is the sentence, I was 100% sure I didn't want any. 100% is 100%.
There's no gray. That's either black or white.
And so what I think with that is currently in your life, as you stand right now, you are at 100% and he's at 100% in the opposite category. So given those right now at this time in life, I think you're making the right choice.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be very difficult. And yeah, you may lose your soulmate over this, but then again,
you may not have found your right soulmate.
Are they your soulmate if you disagree on one of the biggest pillars of a relationship? Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the main things to sort out,
I would say.
So I think you're doing great for now. And I don't know how long it's been since this write-in was submitted, but I'm hoping you've found some help and you're doing okay.
Well, I would certainly say right back in, let us know where you're at.
Yeah. Because I put this theme together a while ago and we've just kind of peppered in stories as they mm-hmm. fit. So this may not be super recent, but still worth sharing, you know?
Yeah.
Get the people together.
This reaches a lot of people because there are other people that have the same, you know, quandary. Is that the word, quandary?
I don't know. It sounds like you're making up a new language.
Typical me, using the wrong word in the wrong place.
Okay.
Let's go. Number three. This week's sponsors is PXG. And if you remember, I love that shirt. Unfortunately, I wore it so much, I had to wash it. can't wear it tonight.
I just had to wash it.
I did.
It was a pretty good shirt on you. It was lightweight, breathable, casual and comfy, but also still made you look put together and on top of it.
I loved it.
PXG is on a mission to create the most high quality, high performance golf clubs and apparel in the game. Based on that, do you feel like they nailed it?
They nailed it.
All of PXG's apparel is made with premium materials and technology designed for peak performance, confidence, inspiring looks that invite all-day play and then can take you from the course to the office or happy hour.
That's right. You can go right into the clubhouse with that thing and you fit right in.
You do.
It's beautiful.
And for my girlies, there's the most amazing skorts, sets. I mean, you name it. You can golf or drive that cart in style. So if you're ready to try it for yourself, elevate your style game on and off the course with PXG Spring Summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/FKS and use code
FKS.
At checkout to save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/FKS. Code FKS to save 10% on apparel. pxg.com/FKS. Code
FKS.
Hey, Jerry, Morgan, Justin, and everybody else. I like that. Everybody else. Like saying hi to the people.
I love that. It's a catch-all.
Okay. I need some advice on a situation that happened to me recently. I, female 25, my old housemate, who we call K, female 27, and a friend from work, who we can call S, female 30, were invited to our friend's wedding.
Okay.
Female 26 in Sydney, Australia.
Love Sydney, Australia.
Parentheses, we were all living in London.
Okay.
We have all been planning this trip for months and had a hotel booked to stay together and go to the wedding together. The day of the wedding went to plan and was beautiful, with a gorgeous ceremony, meal, and after party. But that's when things went wrong. As all the guests were leaving, it was difficult to get a taxi. K and S were sitting on the curb waiting for our taxi while I was still mingling and chatting with the other guests we sat with during the wedding. When I turned around to check in with K and S, they were gone. And one of the other guests informed me they had already got in a taxi and had headed back to the hotel. I was angry and ordered my own taxi and went back to the hotel alone. When I arrived at the hotel, they were both just chilling out on the beds and I made it known I was upset, and that's when all hell broke loose. Kay started screaming at me about how I'm such a horrible, nasty person and that I was the reason that Kay left London. Side note, Kay had to leave London suddenly because her mom had become unwell and feels her time living abroad was cut short, because she's originally Australian. She was in my face screaming at how I apparently hated her, never liked her, treated her poorly. But before this, when we were living and working together, we got on very well and had never had any of these issues come up. And she had never accused me of any of these things. Because I wasn't crying, S then started accusing me of being a narcissist and bad friend because my other friend was so visibly upset and I just stood there shocked and unable to speak. I tried to take myself off to the bathroom to give us all some space, but Kay just followed me in there, continuing to yell at me. The night ended by the two of them kicking me out of the hotel room, and I had to go check in somewhere else at 1 a.m. after they had already left me in a strange city on my own with people I'd only met 5 hours earlier. Neither of them showed up to the post-wedding drinks the next day. I messaged them both apologizing for my part in the argument that took place last night, and asked Kay if she wanted a phone call to chat about the things that had been said the previous night, to see maybe if the alcohol consumed had heightened the emotions and to see if we could clear the air. She ignored me. I also messaged S, apologizing for her being caught in the middle of something that didn't really seem like it had much to do with her, but she ignored me too. I'm at a loss. There's a high probability that I will never see Kay again now she is living on the other side of the world, and I'm about to start a new job when I return to London, so I won't have anything to do with S either. They both have all the photos of the wedding too, as their phones are better, so I have no pics of me and the bride and groom or anything. Should I try and reach out again at a later date, or just call this one a loss and a friendship breakup and leave it as it is? Sending so much love to you all and letting you know how much I love the pod.
You know, that's a big explosion for a short moment about, you know, mingling when the cab shows up. So obviously this has been brewing.
It was ticking.
And something triggered this thing. I think the fact that you should probably, you've made a voicemail, you've made a call, text them your intention, if you would like to do that, or because they may not even answer the phone. They have to read a message or an email and just say, look, I don't know where this was coming from. I'm truly at a loss because we never discussed any of this before the trip.
Right.
And now that we took a trip and we had this major explosion, I'm sure something dramatic has happened that I totally was clueless to, which I apologize for being clueless. And everything came to me as being a blindside. Yeah. So I'm not ignoring you. I'm giving you your space out of respect. I'm here to talk about things, find out where this all came from, and if we can resolve it. And with that, I love you. And I hope that you guys will get back in touch with me. And I would leave it like that. I mean, nothing, no name calling, nothing, because in your message here, you haven't really clued that there was anything that you knew was a problem. You are at a loss, mm-hmm. and you are clueless, whatever triggered them. So that's really what I would highlight, and just be humble with it. And this is the one shot that they get. And if they don't answer it, don't chase them anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry about the pictures. I'm sorry they have everything, but let's hope that something will come from that.
Yeah, and the memories are more important anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, she has the bad memory right here.
But what the pictures are of.
I wonder if maybe even the wedding had some pictures and other people have pictures of you guys.
Yeah, probably.
So
my ideal outcome would be to be able to stop worrying if I had done something to upset them while I was under the influence. Nobody said anything to me at the time, but every time I asked them what I had done, they replied with the classic, "If you don't know, why should we tell you?" Mm-hmm. I just want to be able to either rebuild the friendship or move on with my life without worrying. And so, yeah, I think what you said is great, because extend, you know, be the good person that you are, extend the invite to say, hey, I'm willing to talk. I want to make this right. And if you don't hear from them, then this is a natural, and that's why it's in this theme, friend breakup. Mm-hmm. And at that point, then, you know, it already seems like you guys' lives are taking you in such vastly different directions that I don't think it'll affect your day-to-day life like some of the other stories we get. Mm-hmm. So I think you'll be okay. But yeah, I would, you know, just to give respect to yourself and to the friendship that you've had with these people, give it a shot and just see.
Yeah, I think that something will eventually surface. I mean, there was something that was very toxic that was going on before that caused the explosion. It's kind of like you shake the bottle and before you know the sun comes out and sees that hot bottle and boom,
yeah,
the cap pops off and everything foams. So it will calm down a little bit, and maybe something will good come from it and be some good growth for all of you.
Yeah. Well, and this also brings to mind, I think it's just so important in life, no matter what relationship, friendship, anything, to just be open and honest when you're upset by something. Because bottling things up is not good for anybody.
It's not even good for your health.
And just if there's something that's, you know, a ticking time bomb like that, that's so serious, then I wish your friends could have had the maturity to sit down and say, hey, this wasn't cool, or whatever this is stemming from, because we have no idea.
Well, it could be as simple as they were pissed that she was talking to these other people and she was ignoring them as they were going to get in a car.
It could. I mean, with alcohol, yeah. I don't know.
We just don't know.
But if that's the case, then I don't know. I don't really want those friends anyway. Like, that's too much for me. I'm going drama-free these days.
Let's just see what happens with them. Keep us in the loop.
Yes. Onward, forward.
Number four.
Sideways.
Number four, the fourth reading.
Another one of this week's partners is Greenlight. As your kids get older, some things about parenting get easier. And some don't. Like money.
Show me the money.
Money is something we have both struggled with. Budgeting?
I don't know how to spell the word.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So help me. What do you suggest that I do?
Honestly, we might have to get Greenlight for Dad.
I think so.
Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. It's so parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on kids' spending and saving while your kids and teens build confidence with money and learn about lifelong financial skills. I wish I would have had Greenlight growing up. I would have done my chores a lot faster had I known $5 was going to get deposited in my Greenlight account after. But I think this is such a good way to teach your kids about money and saving and how to use a debit card and financial responsibility and independence.
I think it's wonderful.
So when they do leave the little nest eventually, they're set up.
I could see where it's a great tool.
So if you're ready to try for yourself, sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/FKS. That's greenlight.com/FKS to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/FKS.
Number four.
Hi, everyone. Longtime listener, first time writing in. My ex, 26 male, and I, 26 female, recently broke up. He broke up with me, and even though I know it was for the best, I'm having a hard time letting go of the potential we had. We were together for almost 2 years, living together the majority of that time. He moved from his home state to mine shortly after he moved home with his family after a rough divorce. He's prior military as well and had just gotten out around the same time as moving in with his family. Throughout the relationship, we had many high highs and very low lows. Lots of it revolved around things he felt I wasn't doing that were ideal in a relationship. Reflecting now, I know he loved bombed me pretty hard. He played the, I thought you love me, why aren't you excited card when I showed hesitation to him moving in with me a few months into dating. Then the rest of the relationship, he held it over my head that he uprooted his life to be with me. He'd always compare my relationship history to his, saying he had more experience because he'd been married, and I didn't know how to be in one since I'd only had 1 2-year serious relationship prior to him. My ex had a lot of childhood trauma and ran away to the military, prepared to die for his country. Ever since getting out, he struggled acclimating to civilian life, bouncing between jobs and different schools, trying to figure out what he wants to do with his life. Recently, we discussed him getting back into contract military work overseas since it was his dream and I was nothing but supportive. I helped with his application, encouraged him, and did everything I thought a good partner was supposed to do to show my support. He left for work one morning, came home, and when I asked about making some holiday plans with my family, he said we needed to talk. He said he wanted to take a break since our lease was ending soon, thinking it best we separate if he's going to leave the country in 6 to 9 months for this 4-month contract job. I was hesitant but agreed since we had been having recurring issues the whole relationship, almost breaking up several times. When I clarified if he wanted to live separately or just break up, he said the latter. I was heartbroken. We'd been doing so well recently and I'd been trying my hardest to improve on all the things he said he wasn't happy with. He seemed just as happy since the day prior to this, we'd been at a leasing office for a new place. It's been several days now, and even though I know logically it's the best thing for both of us, my heart is still struggling to catch up with my mind. Do you believe in right person, wrong time? He said he felt like in order to prepare for this overseas work in a dangerous country, he needed to be in a specific mindset, and that meant not having any attachments back home.
Sometimes people use a lot of excuses when they're really looking just to find a way out. Relationships are tough, even in the best of scenarios, the best of cases. And you're in a tough one. You guys got a lot of baggage going on. And on top of it, when people are, you know, throwing excuses and keeping score, I've always used the expression, when you start keeping score, the game is already over. Maybe this breakup is a good plan that you can actually go and heal and then see what your next relationship, if there's a next relationship that you feel is going to be better. Or you may find out that he really is the one and maybe he'll find out you really are the one. But the breakup might really work for you guys at this point in time, where you can find that happiness and not the uncertainty of what's there in store for you.
Yeah.
So I don't look at it as being bad. I know that, you know, look, you miss them. It's only been days. You know, you don't spend your, you know, years with somebody growing and, you know, fighting for the relationship and taking all this stuff and think that you're going to be done. It's going to be easy. Look,
yeah,
you know, I broke up with somebody because I really felt it wasn't my ultimate destination and I wasn't hers. It doesn't mean that we don't have feelings.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do. It's normal. You're going to have feelings, but you also recognize it really isn't the ultimate relationship that you want. And you need to set your both of you free so you can find that ultimate relationship where everything, you know, does mesh into one another. And I think you have to give yourself that chance to see if that's the case here.
I agree. I think, you know, it sounds like you did everything you could and it just didn't work out. And it's, I think a lot of times the hard part when you do get broken up with mm-hmm. is the first thing you want to do is, what did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. How could I have changed this? Oh, I should have done this differently. And the reality is that's not true. Yeah, you could have done some things differently, but you know, you ended up here for a reason and it's just not going to be part of your story. One of the sentences that really sticks out to me is, we recently broke up and even though I know it was for the best, mm-hmm. I'm having a hard time letting go. And that's very natural. Mm-hmm. I mean, change is painful, especially a change of this magnitude when you think you're building a life with someone and you see a future and you're simply just trying to make some holiday plans and then you get hit with this. I mean, that's still like, that makes me feel sick just thinking through that. Mm-hmm. Like that's my freaking nightmare. But you're through the hard part. The Band-Aid's been ripped off and it only can go up from here.
And there are times that you do meet three wonderful people, all a little different in their own little individual way. And then timing comes into play. When one of those hit at the right timing for both of you. And so sometimes relationships are timing. You just have to.
For sure. I think always.
Yeah. So you just kind of have to let's stay the course and see how things roll for you over the next 6 months, 2 years. It's not going to happen the next day. You got to really heal from this relationship, allow yourself to heal from this relationship. And then you'll be healthy for the next time somebody special comes along, that it won't just be the sacrificial lamb relationship. It might be something real.
Well, and that plays into the ideal outcome. Ideal outcome would be to give my ex the space, time he needs to heal and one day reconnect. I know he has a vision of the ideal man he wants to be, but he struggles to actually be that right now. Mm-hmm. Ideally, I want to be able to accept his decision to leave because I know it's best for us both. I was mentally, physically, and emotionally drained by the time it ended, mm-hmm. but I'm afraid in my own healing journey, I'll be moved on if he does ever circle back when he is ready.
Well, if you've moved on, then you have nothing to worry about because you have moved on. You will be healed. And he wasn't the right one because you moved on and somebody filled that void and more. So let's see what happens.
And I just have a gut feeling that when you're ready, you'll meet someone mm-hmm. and you'll just be shocked. I think you're going to have a really, really great experience with someone new.
And maybe without all the drama that he is living from whatever else is causing him to go off to war, really to try to kill himself, it seems like. Face that, I mean, it's horrible to say that, but who knows why he keeps putting himself back into this area. He could stay in the service and not go into battle. He could have made a career in the armed services.
I feel like it just sounds like he is lost and just searching. And that's mm-hmm. maybe the one time he's felt like he's had purpose mm-hmm. or like that's what he was meant to do. And that's hard. I mean, being 26 and not mm-hmm. being really, not really figuring out what your true passion is or what you like meant to, what you're meant to do, I think is, it's sometimes an interesting statement, but what you really want to do in life. And you, if you haven't had that sorted by, you know, you're verging on your late 20s, then that can be very hard. And I think there are a lot of breakups that come out of mm-hmm. people just being lost.
I was lost till at 26, what I was supposed to do. And I was already in a profession going on a direction. You know, we just learned that we do get different stages in our life with different purposes. And where we finally feel that we come into, we're able to, you know, come into our own.
Yeah.
And I don't think at 26 I had come into my own. You know, I had a lot of conflict still going on.
Yeah, not to say that's not normal. I'm saying that that mm-hmm. is very common, but I think so. That is a big factor in this breakup.
Yeah.
It's a lot from within at the same mm-hmm. time as it is anything between you two.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'll get through it.
You're welcome to keep writing in and let's keep seeing where it goes, and certainly read the comments. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of comments on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I know I've been there where you literally think it's the end of the world and you never make it through. Mm-hmm. I've seen Jerry go through that phase.
Phases.
But we're all still here.
We are. Let's roll on to number 5. Yes, Matt. Yes, sir.
Okay, no real title, but here we go.
Okay.
6-year relationship, not married, but live together and have one child.
Okay.
Not really sure where to start with this, but here we go.
Okay.
Me, 23 female, and my boyfriend, 24 male, have been together for 6 years, and we have a 4-year-old child together and live on our own. We have had a lot of ups and downs in our relationship. Since the moment we started dating, I slowly started to change various aspects of myself or things that I would do to appease my boyfriend. I blame myself for not setting up my boundaries from the beginning, but regardless of that, here we are. For example, throughout the span of my relationship, I no longer see my friends. I no longer cuss. There is certain music I no longer listen to, and he had me delete my social media profiles, etc. From the start, he made it clear that he did not want me out in the street, and I agreed. Fast forward, I hardly go out with him, and by out, I mean like to the stores or hanging out with my family on my own. Over the years, I feel in my heart that he is not the person for me and feel depleted of my sense of self. 2 months ago, I hit a breaking point. What caused this is due to a transition in his career. About 6 to 9 months ago, he had started a job that did not allow him to have his phone during the whole duration of his shift. Side note, the past 3 to 4 years, he was in school completing his degree, and during that time, and even now, he keeps close track of my location and any side quests I may take, such as groceries, food, or gas. So during his time in this new job, I felt like I could finally breathe during his time there. The breaking point happened when he decided that the job was too much and his schedule was not working with our family time / time together. Once he resigned, I realized my slight sense of self I had was going to be gone. I decided to have a talk with him, telling him that I did not want us to continue our relationship, and really opened up about everything I have been struggling with in our relationship. I was trying my best to be adamant about separating, but I was not successful. He has a strong desire to stay together because he doesn't want us to have a broken family and because he says he loves me very much. He said he is committed to our relationship and for me to be happy with him. Since then, he has made improvements, and I truly appreciate the efforts he has made. The issue I'm having is that I truly do not feel in love with him, and I don't want him to be my husband. I am someone who wants to be married and have a partner that I can feel 100% myself with and have them love me for it. I genuinely do not feel like he is my person, and honestly, I don't feel like I'm his either. I genuinely think there is someone out there for him, and that is not me. So much so that I truly pray he finds someone and willingly leaves me. He is so persistent in us being together and working everything out, but I just simply do not feel that way. I can say that I do have love for him, but I am not in love with him. How do I break out of this and make him understand that I don't want us to continue being in a relationship?
Well, it's certainly that the control that he had didn't allow you to be you. And it's the same thing that you're fighting for someone that's going to allow you to be you. You say it quite clearly. You figure that one out. When people say, gee, go to a family counselor, your answer is, I already know the problem. I'm not allowed to be me. The guy is a control freak. He's insecure. And I've had the discussion with him. And it doesn't change that feeling that I have. And it's burned, that spark away. I mean, look, you share a child together. If you don't think that you're going to see each other the rest of your lives, even though you might be single parents, you will see one another. So the time away that you do go through a breakup might discover a lot of things for both of you to allow you guys to grow independently of each other. But the reality is you're right now growing bitter. It's going to be nasty. So I think that your plan to move on and go forward is to say, this is what's going to be healthiest for right now. And I hope that you can accept it. And we're going to have to just be responsible dual parents.
This one is scary for me because someone with this behavior,
in the control, he can go ballistic.
I feel really bad for what you've been through, and everything you're thinking is right on. Mm-hmm. Like you'd really got to try and get out of this thing because he's whittling you down to just a robot that exists and doesn't have any friends or family or passions. And
he's killing you from the inside out.
It's just really scary. And the ideal outcome to get separated and be able to co-parent healthily so that our son has a happy relationship with each of us. And yeah, that is best case. Mm-hmm. And I really hope you can get there. That anything else, I'm scared that he would try to make my life extra difficult if we were to separate. He has a strong personality and I'm more of a people pleaser and have trouble setting/upholding boundaries. He also has a huge family and his mom specifically also has a strong personality. And for me, I just have my immediate family.
She might need some individual therapy to help keep her on track for what she wants, to get that extra support.
Hopefully somehow we can get to a place of healthy co-parenting like you want.
But also because you say yourself you're weak and be able to compare to his energy of trying to hold this thing together, you also may individually want to look for someone that can help be a therapist for you to keep you guided on what your goals are. And so when something, comes up that you feel yourself being sucked back in, that you can hold your sure footing because you are ultimately responsible for you. And that's the biggest key here.
Well, I think it's important too for anybody listening that we say this is very point blank abuse. If someone has you not listen to certain music, not see your friends anymore, delete your social media profiles, and then puts it all under this guise like, oh, I just want to keep you home and safe. Mm-hmm. Just start to recognize those signs.
Control.
That you may be in an abusive relationship, because I've seen people who believe those reasons and those excuses so much to where they're like, oh no, the person's just trying to keep me safe in this. So just stay aware and recognize any of those signs if they may be happening to you or someone you know, because it's freaking scary.
Yeah, you don't want to be in a 100% controlled environment. You want to be able to be you and they want to be themselves, and together you guys could be us. But you're never going to grow if someone's got their thumb on you consistently. And I can see that would definitely drive your passion away from an individual.
100%. And a relationship really is two independent people that come together and enhance each other's lives. Mm-hmm. There's no sense of like, I mean, yeah, there's relationships where you know, you bend together, you don't break, mm-hmm. but you compensate when someone needs a little extra at mm-hmm. certain times. But in this sense, you really want to meet someone that takes your life that's good on its own mm-hmm. and just makes it better and doesn't take away from who you are mm-hmm. or really what you love to do. Mm-hmm. In this case, we do have a child, so we have to keep that in mind and just try and figure out a way to have your best life and also have your child be able to live their best life. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, this is one of those tests, as you say, mm-hmm. one of these things that's thrown in our path of life that there is a way through, mm-hmm. but it just might take, you know, a lot to figure out to get there.
And I would probably say that it's very important that your child's father really recognizes part of the problem was control, and that he coming into a relationship of any kind with you, even to free friends, to try to demand control and manipulate you is going to not work well for your future going on being a co-parent. And yeah. It's really important that he gets that now, because the last thing you want when you're not together is for him to start, you know, stalking you and seeing what you're doing and, you know, just something that's just not healthy. So you want to make sure that the boundaries are up. We define them. Everyone is on check with them. And that might begin to get you back to a place where you guys can at least be friends and go forward.
Because, or even just simply co-parents. Like, yeah. You never know. Ideally, maybe, yeah. But just get one step at a time.
Yeah, it's just not going to work in any way, shape, or form if this person continues to think that they have control on you, or they try to continue to manipulate and control you. It's going to cause more friction and a problem, and you will resist, and you will go far away in the other direction. So they got to be very well on point to understand how we got here mm-hmm. and what not to do.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Justin and I are sitting here editing this story right now, and I just think it's important to add in another note here. If you feel that you are in an abusive relationship, like the one mentioned, it is okay to leave without saying a word. If I would have been on this episode, I would have been popping off, because Justin hits the nail on the head. This is scary. And I think this could be one of those times where you get an exit plan in place and make sure you can safely leave. I just think it's important to highlight these stories, because a lot of us don't recognize the signs of bad relationships. And it's hard once you're in it. You know, we learn all the time that it can take people up to 7 attempts to leave. So you're trying, he's not letting you go. The best thing to do might be just going when he's at work or whatever, but there's resources out there. You know, there's domestic abuse hotlines you can reach out to. So if you feel like this connects with you, please reach out and create a safe exit plan. Look after yourself. Okay. Bye.
So that's it for tonight, guys. And what does my sock say?
Enter.
Enter, enter. I don't quite understand. What's the top part say?
Control.
That's control?
Yeah.
They're computer keys.
They're computer keys? Ah.
Escape is on the bottom.
Really?
It's on the top too.
Well, that's what I want to do. I want to escape.
Look, you got a little thumb drive on there too.
Do I really?
And your glasses are on there.
I love my glasses. So anyways, that's it for tonight, folks. I do know that coming, I think it's this Thursday at what time, Morgan?
6.
6 o'clock.
Pacific.
Pacific time. We are going to be rolling into
8 Central.
Group T. Go ahead.
9 Eastern.
Yeah. And what about Greenwich?
I don't know.
So pay attention to 6 Pacific time.
Yes.
And we look for you. And Also, check out our Patreon and don't forget to subscribe.
Yep.
Thumbs up.
Yep.
Watch the whole episode.
Yep.
Lots of time. And if you have friends, get them to join in and come to the live shows and come to Group T, because that's where we really get to connect with you and meet you and share the love. And that's my favorite part of this whole thing.
Yeah.
All right. So good night for now. We'll see you next week.
Bye.